Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Today is a good day. It's a week-long conversation about the many vocations of women. And today, we're going to talk about single women. Don't start singing the song. We have great guests lined up today. We're going to talk with three ladies who happen to, well, have experience with being single. So we're going to talk about that here in just a little bit. I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting this program. And so we want to say thanks to them for being a part of Faith and Family. To find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin, just go to our website, kfuo.org. Look for the sponsor section there. You'll find the CUW logo. You can click on it and you can find out more about them. And say thanks to Concordia University, Wisconsin, on our behalf for supporting Faith and Family here at Worldwide KFUO. Well, joining us in studio today, Deaconess Ellie Coro. She serves as Missionary Care Coordinator in the Office of International Mission here at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Ellie, thanks so much for joining us in studio.
Thanks for asking me.
You're getting to be a regular here in a number of programs.
I know.
and a familiar voice on Worldwide KFUO.
They're going to worry. I'm going to defect over to KFUO, I think.
Also joining us by phone today, we have Martha Mitkos. She's the director of the Lutheran Malaria Initiative. Good morning, Martha.
Good morning, Andy.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Now, normally you'd be right down the hall and able to join us in studio, but somehow you magically teleported to Concordia, Missouri today. I know I saw you in the building this morning.
I believe you did.
Also joining us by phone today, Adrienne Hines. She's the managing editor of the Lutheran Witness and editor of catechetical information for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and also author of Hello, My Name is Single, which is a publication due out in June from Concordia Publishing House. Good morning, Adrienne.
Good morning. This is International Center West over here in Concordia. That's why Martha's here.
It's the deployed office, the office for all the international folks who like to be out in the office next to the cows, right?
That's right. You got it.
As opposed to next to the beautiful lake here at we have at the International Center.
As opposed to the geese and the
geese,
swans.
That's right. Exactly. It's a beautiful place to be, either building. Well, our topic at hand today is we're talking about vocations of women, the many vocations of women. And today we're talking about being single. Now we have two single ladies today and one married lady. And I guess we'll have to wait till the end to figure that out, right?
Yeah.
No, the topic... single women, and we're going to get to that in just a little bit, but I want to give everybody a chance to tell us a little bit about yourself and where you grew up, education, your current vocations, all those things. So we'll work our way around. We'll start with Ellie, and then we'll go to Martha and Adrienne. How's that sound?
Oh, wonderful.
So Ellie, where did you grow up? And tell us about a little bit about the history of Deaconess Ellie Coro.
Well, I'm a daughter of both my parents were career Air Force, and so I grew up all over the place. It's actually not an easy question for me to answer. We were stationed all over Europe for the first 14 years of my life. So the first time I lived in the States was my freshman year of high school.
Wow.
And that's when my parents retired and we moved to small town Vermont. So that was the first big experience with culture shock I ever had in my life. I lived all over the world and moving to Vermont was a culture shock. And So I lived in Vermont for, longest I've lived anywhere. So I guess that's the closest thing I have to home. I guess when I think home, I think Vermont. But, and then I became a deaconess. I'm a single mom as well. So my experience with singleness is probably a little different than some other folks, but creates a different perspective. But my son Andrew's 9, so that's my other vocation.
And a joy he is. Great name, by the way.
Yes, it's a good name. It's a good, strong name.
And so you serve as a deaconess. You have multiple degrees, as I recently learned, and studying along the way.
Yeah, I'm an adult convert to Lutheranism. I went to Gordon-Conwell Theological Seminary when I was a Baptist and received a MA in theology and MA in church history and became a Lutheran while I was there. I think I'm the only person who went in Southern Baptist and came out LCMS.
Well, you said you weren't very good at being a Baptist.
I was never very good at being a Baptist, and I was Assemblies of God before that, and I was even worse at that.
Well, very good. So your experience, you've studied theology, you're single, you're a deaconess, and you're a mom. So put it all together. We've got a lot to talk about today.
Yeah.
Lots of stories to unfold. Martha, tell us, I enjoyed reading your article, which tells us a little bit about Martha. But for everybody who's not read the article that you wrote for the alumni newsletter for St. Paul Lutheran High School last fall, tell us about Martha Mitkos.
Sure. I'm the director of the Lutheran Malaria Initiative for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and that position is getting ready to morph as we look at other opportunities for campaigns and special initiatives for Synod. As we move forward, we'll be looking at Free to be Faithful, which is our opportunity as Lutherans to be active in the public square in helping to defend religious freedom, mercy, so life issues, as well as sanctity of marriage. I grew up mostly in Southwest Missouri. My father is an LCMS pastor, and my mom was an English professor. She is now in administration as my dad took a call to Southern Illinois my sophomore year in high school, which then brought me to St. Paul in Concordia, Missouri, which is where Adrian and I are speaking from today. So it's really kind of exciting to be back on campus. I studied recreation leadership and administration and had no intentions of going into church work, but God had other plans. He uses our lives to shape and mold us and to help continue to serve in our vocational calling to love and serve our neighbors.
You studied recreation, leadership, and administration. So does that mean you officially know how to have fun?
My dad said I went to school to play games. So yeah, that's probably the correct answer.
I read that in your article, and that was something I thought would be interesting to study, but I never found a, I don't know if any of the Concordias, well, they might offer it now, but at the time I didn't find one nearby that I could study recreation. And make it, well, I didn't know I could make a career out of it.
But. I studied lots of recreation in college, but let's.
And so, so now how does that education that you have, how does that fit into the work that you do now? I could see a connection there. The administration part.
Yeah, well, the administration part and understanding, you know, what needs to be done organizationally to get things accomplished. And, you know, I've always been someone that doesn't take no for an answer and continues to push to make things happen. And it bodes well for me and the work that I need to do for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Very good. And Adrian, I'm sure some of our listeners know a little bit about you. You used to be Adrian Dorr, now you're Adrian Hines. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your education and background and where you are today.
Certainly. I grew up on a pig farm in Northwest Iowa and then went to Concordia University, Wisconsin in Mequon to get an English degree. And then from there, I ended up at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne in the Master of Arts program, and then eventually wound up in St. Louis working as the managing editor for the Lutheran Witness. And now I continue to do that and also edit catechetical information from Higginsville, Missouri, which is very near Concordia. So I've gone from being a pig farmer's daughter to a dairy farmer's wife.
You always know that the conversation is going to be good when it starts off with, I grew up on a pig farm and I went to seminary.
No, it's like a bad joke, but it's actually real life.
Exactly. That's why I said, you know, the conversation's going to be good.
That's right.
It's going to be Bacon interesting.
And milk, I think this could go well.
Well, on to the conversation. You all have interesting backgrounds and all have experience as single women, particularly as Lutherans. And Ellie has the Baptist background too, so even better. How have the vocations of single people served or impacted you throughout your life? Who are the single people that have served you throughout your life or that have made an impact on you? Let's start with Martha. Who are some of the single people, particularly single women, that have had that have impacted your life?
Wow. Well, you know, we all have different roles in our lives, and we never know how God is going to shape and mold us in those roles.
Mm-hmm.
One of the opportunities that I had was to move to Iowa City in 2000 to care for my great aunt. And while she was married, her husband passed away when she was 78. She didn't get married until she was 40. So the majority of her life as she lived her 100 years was as a single woman. And she was the most stubborn, bullheaded woman I've ever met, but incredibly, amazingly strong in her faith and in her vocation to serve her community. She used to own the largest beauty salon in the Midwest. She worked till she was 91, and it wasn't until she had a fall and shattered her femur that she had to stop working. And she would have still been working till the day she died. She was actually really angry with my grandmother because as she's laying there in traction in the hospital, she tells my grandmother, now the lease is coming due on the shop, and I want to renew it for the next for the next term, which is 10 years. And my grandmother looked at her and said, Clara, you're out of your mind. You'd be 101 when that lease came due. Till the day she died, she blamed my grandmother that she was not still working.
Well, I think the bonus points just went to Martha. I thought it started with, I grew up on a pig farm, but now the owner of the largest beauty salon in the Midwest. That gets bonus points, too.
And that's in Iowa as well. So Iowa just seems to be a good all over.
I thought Vermont would be interesting. I don't know. Iowa sounds like the place to be, don't you think, Ellie?
I like mountains.
Now, Vermont maple syrup too, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's the only place to get it.
Ellie, who were the single people that that influenced you? Is there anyone that stands out, a single person or particularly maybe a single woman?
Well, you said that, my mind went instantly blank. And I'm still kind of racking my brain, and I think that's probably part of the issue, is that you don't see a lot of single women mm-hmm. who are happy and healthy and have cultivated that single life into a gift for their neighbors. And so that's really how it can serve as a gift. One of the single women that I know really well is my aunt, and she's an attorney, and she's mm-hmm. had her own law practice for years and years and years, and she's doing her own thing, and that's great. And I didn't grow up with a lot of exposure to really kind of strong single women. I've been around a few single women who mm-hmm. Other than those present, of course, that have really struggled with it. And that was always the way I always pictured it, was mm-hmm. struggling with it. And maybe if I'd had the opportunity to see other women that really kind of owned it
mm-hmm. sure.
and lived it happily for their neighbor, it wouldn't have taken me a mm-hmm. long time to sort of come to grips and come to peace with the whole thing.
And you bring up a good point, which we're going to get to in our conversation, understanding of vocation. Adrian, single people, particularly single women, that have influenced you?
I can think of one in particular at my church in Fort Wayne, and she was an older gal who had lost her husband, but she, while she didn't have a deaconess degree, she sort of acted like one to our church. She was the gal who was there fixing coffee every morning and visiting shut-ins just because she could, helping out with Sunday school. She lived her life around the church and around serving those of us in the congregation. And that always stuck out to me as something really beautiful and notable that single women especially can do. We like to nurture and take care of other people. And she lived that out day to day, which was really a blessing to those of us who knew her. But I also think gals like Martha and Ellie are really great examples to single gals today of how you can love and care for your neighbor and put other people first, even if you're in a situation where you're still praying for a spouse and perhaps the Lord hasn't sent you one yet, or maybe you're totally fine with being single and you're not praying for a spouse. But I think we have lots of examples of strong women who have very robust faith that are living out their singleness in ways that can really benefit the rest of us.
Martha, you wrote in that article about a year ago for the St. Paul Lutheran High School alumni newsletter, you wrote an article called No Way Becomes God's Way called the Celebrating Saint. That was, I think, last September. When God gives us vocations, it isn't always necessarily our choice of vocation. Sometimes it gives us vocations that we don't choose, or at least maybe not our first choice. Yet he still gives us these vocations, some in spite of our disappointment and some we take on gladly. Why do you think God does this? Why does he give us these vocations some that we like and some that we don't like?
Well, I think the first thing is, I have tried repeatedly throughout my life to bend God's will to meet my desires or my needs, and that has not boded well for me. So, when it came time to filling out my application to come to St. Paul, my dad had encouraged me to check the future church worker box, and I looked at him like he was out of his mind and said, no, I have no desire to work in church work. you know, as a pastor's kid, you kind of see the good, the bad, and the ugly of the church. And I had become disenchanted and had no desire to put myself in that type of position. But God finds a way to weave people into our lives that help us grow in our faith and challenge us and speak the truth in love. I had spent a year with Lutheran Youth Encounter touring the United States as well as Germany, the Czech Republic, Romania, and Poland. And when I came home, I knew that I was supposed to be working in ministry. I just didn't know what capacity. And I had the opportunity to visit with Cindy Simpson, who is my mentor. She was the VP of Advancement and Alumni Relations for Concordia University Chicago. And she had encouraged me to seek a vocation in development or fundraising. And I had no desire to do that whatsoever. I did not want to talk to people about money. I thought it was all about the money. And this kept coming up repeatedly. I had had about 6 interviews. And I finally said, okay, there's something that God is trying to teach me here that I am just not getting. And so I said, I'll try this. I'll see what happens. And I started with Concordia Seminary in 2005, and it was such an amazing blessing. The donors that I worked with opened my eyes and opened my heart to what God was doing in their lives and with the gifts that he had bestowed upon them. And I was amazed that they were willing to give of their hard-earned money to help support the mission and ministry of the church and to further the kingdom of God in spreading the gospel. And I was amazed by this. These are people that worked hard in their lives and, you know, earned millions of dollars and were choosing to give that to the church. But it was something that I definitely ran away from as hard and fast as I could. And God managed to bring people into my lives that, you know, called me to action and said, this is what you need to be doing. And it's been a true blessing for me.
Ellie, why does God sometimes give us vocations that we don't want? Some that we want, some that we don't want. Why does he give us those vocations and what happens with those?
We live our lives under the cross and he lays crosses upon us in whatever vocation we have. I think there's always a tendency to despise the vocation that we have and look to another vocation and say, oh, that'd be great. And I mean, I know a lot of married people who kind of are nostalgic for their single days. And I know obviously a lot of single people who want nothing more than they want a spouse, nothing else. Mm-hmm. And so he gives us these things that don't look like blessings. They don't look like gifts. You know, Jesus certainly didn't look like a gift to a lot of people. I mean, that's the way God works, is things are often backwards in his world. And these things that are hard, that are mm-hmm. difficult, that that kill us, they're part of our sanctification, teach us that he is there for us in our weakness. And so it doesn't matter, you know, the specifics of the vocation. You're mm-hmm. always going to have those times of weakness, those times that you want to look at something else. But by faith, we know that there's a plan and that he desires good things for us, and he's giving us good things in our vocation, even if we can't see it, even if we don't feel it, even if nothing looks like it, and even if people in trying to encourage you are giving you license to continue to despise what God has given you.
I think the musicians, Amy and Joel Paik and Tangled Blue, wrote a song talking about vocation, and they use the phrase, the strange economics of your grace. They're talking about God.
Yes.
I don't know who coined the phrase, if it was them or someone else, but I thought that was just an interesting way of describing it. The strange economics of your grace, how God, as you were describing, the cross, we live under the cross, and so we don't always understand why, but yet it is for our good and for our neighbor's good that God gives us these vocations.
Exactly.
Adrian, your thoughts on God giving us vocations, those that we want and those we don't want?
Well, Martha and I were talking a little bit earlier, and I don't know if this answers the question exactly, but I think a lot of times as single people, we want God to promise us things in our vocations that he hasn't promised us. I got an email from a gal earlier this week that said, just promise me that suffering as a single person is one day gonna land me a guy. And, you know, God doesn't promise us that. He doesn't promise us that we will have a spouse. He doesn't promise us that we will have children. He doesn't promise a car or a beautiful house or any of those things, he promises that he will be there to forgive us and to love us and to comfort us. And so no matter what vocation we're in, we cling to the promises that we are sure of and that we know that he will actually answer. We don't put words in God's mouth that because I'm in the vocation of single person right now, someday this will end with me being married or this will end with me having five children. We cling to his promises that he died on the cross for us and that he will sustain us through this suffering that we're in and that he will draw us to himself one day. And that's what we focus on, no matter what our vocation might be.
Which is hard as singles in our brokenness. You know, we can't see the forest for the trees. You know, we can't see that God's plan for us is to know him and to help others know him. You know, we have that desire in our heart to be married and to have children. And we think that we can do things that will manipulate that and make that happen. And that may not be God's will for us. It may be singleness.
Well, and Paul actually says singleness is better. I mean, marriage is a wonderful, wonderful thing, and that's not to detract from marriage, but it interests me how that's often viewed as the best, highest vocation that you can have, whereas Paul flat out says, you know, I desire that you would be single, but if you can't be, great, awesome, go get married. And so I don't know why, you know, we kind of end up pitting these things against each other, and we even put ourselves kind of in different camps, and churches even have a tendency to do this as kind of marrieds and singles. And it's like we're all sinners living in our vocation as sinners, and all need the forgiveness of Christ.
We have vocation as sinners. The vocation of sinner?
We have the vocation of sinner. I don't know.
Maybe not.
Yeah, probably pushing it a little far. I'll have to think about that.
Well, let's get, you all bring up a good point. What does the Bible say about the vocations of single women? What does God's word say about singleness and particularly single women? Are there is there scripture that comes to mind as we were discussing or as you were thinking about this topic for today? Adrian?
Yeah, I have a whole chapter in my book on this because one of the passages we often overlook is from Revelation where it talks about the fact that in heaven we won't be married or given in marriage. And so I think the single person today kind of has a one-up on those of us who are married in the sense that they are already what we will be in heaven one day. They're living that out now. They're getting the practice for that now. And that is truly a gift and a joy that the life they lead today in service to Christ and the fact that they have the time and the energy to focus on him is really truly a gift. It's easy for married people or people with kids or whatever else to get distracted by all sorts of other things. The single person can do in a small part what we will all do one day in heaven, which is to focus on Christ and the gifts he has to give us. And that's one of those passages I think we often forget or sort of diminish, that what they're doing today we will all be doing one day after the resurrection.
That we will all be, as you said, not married nor given in marriage, but simply be in God's presence as God's children to be in his presence. And not that we give up that vocation here in this world, that we are God's child, but we have multiple vocations here in this time, whereas in eternity, I gather we'll just have that one vocation to be in the presence of God, the child of God in his presence. Martha, any scripture that comes to mind that as you were thinking about today?
Well, I was thinking more about, you know, what Luther says and the purpose of our vocation, according to Luther, is to love and serve our neighbors. And, you know, for me, while I have the opportunity to serve the church and my congregation and my family, my brothers and sisters and my nieces and nephews, who are my pride and joy, and who I, because of my singleness, I'm able to spend time with them and help mold and shape them just as I would hope that my sisters and brothers would do for my niece and my children if I had children. And so it opens up doors for us to continue to serve in all capacities through the body of Christ, whether it be in the church, singing in the choir, or serving on committees, or whether it be within our own familyhood and friends, mm-hmm. In reaching out to help each other in every way that we can.
Absolutely. There are single women and men in our congregation. I know in our congregation, one of the widowers, he probably was most faithful in attending catechesis, probably more so than the kids, up until the Lord called him home. He was one of the most faithful members. But what an encouragement to the rest of us. I think it was Wednesday night at the time that we had catechesis, he was there all every Wednesday night to study along with the students. And what an encouragement to them, because he had that the gift of time and was able to be there, didn't have a lot of other responsibilities. So he was there, and that was an encouragement to all of us and set a fine example for the rest of us that, oh, wow, as adults, we should be in catechesis as well. Ellie, scripture that comes to mind when thinking about the vocations of women, especially single?
Well, yeah. I mean, as I think, you know, Adrian kind of stole my thunder with the not given in marriage. But also, you know, 1 Corinthians 7, which I had alluded to before, where, you know, Paul says that, you know, I wouldn't, mm-hmm. you know, that if you're single, you're not divided. Your interests aren't divided. I don't have it right in front of me, so I'm paraphrasing. Forgive me. And so we can focus on serving him by serving our neighbors. And we're not thinking about how to please other mm-hmm. people that are in our lives, taking up our time and everything else. And so, you know, I think it's important that, to also recognize that, of course, Paul is a great fan of marriage, too. And
sure.
It's, you know, I just want to reiterate that nobody, it's easy to see singleness as a curse. I almost said marriage is a curse. It's easy to see singleness as a curse sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, especially when you're in the midst of it. And that's the way trial always goes, is when you're in the midst of it, it feels like God has cursed you. But, you know, in Christ, he has nothing but blessing for us. There's no curse for us. It's all been laid on him. And so we walk in that in faith, and we will get through it.
he gives us all different vocations. He gives us various vocations for various reasons. I mean, there's certainly good reason for marriage as well.
Exactly.
So yeah, you're right. We've pointed out certainly the benefits to those who are given the vocation of singleness. We'll continue the conversation. We're talking about the vocations of single women today on Faith and Family. We'll continue the conversation right after the break. Stick around for more Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Facebook is one of the biggest social media instruments for checking out what is going on with Worldwide KFUO. On our Facebook page, facebook.com/KFUO radio, you'll see us posting pictures, online videos, show information, as well as reviews and previews of events at KFUO. Worldwide KFUO, we are where you are, on Facebook at facebook.com/KFUO radio. The worldwide leader of confessional Lutheranism, Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Here's something that's sure to be a discussion starter at your next gathering. Technology has made it possible to give expecting parents an exact 3D replica of their baby in the womb. A company in Brazil has developed a way to use prenatal ultrasound imaging and print it out on a 3D printer. What results is an identical plastic version of what's in mommy's tummy. It's a great tool to teach other siblings about the impending birth. It helps connect them to their younger brother or sister. Also, it's a good way to teach others who may support abortion about the incredible development and beauty of the unborn child. New technology continues to provide more and more windows to the womb that result in changed hearts and minds on abortion.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Two pastors, one an Italian wise guy, and the other a Ukrainian academic. What happens when you put them in the same room with no script and a bunch of sound effects? Well, you're just going to have to tune in to find out. The God Whisperers on Worldwide KFUO, Thursdays from 2 to 3 p.m. Central. They're fun-loving, a little off the wall, but always solidly Lutheran. You will learn something every time or double your money back. It's okay to enjoy being Lutheran.
Hello, I'm Rod Zwanitzer, Director of Broadcast for KFUO. We totally depend on the gracious supporters who want this gospel voice to continue and expand as the messenger of good news of Christ. A wonderful part of this support is our underwriters, an ever-increasing number, and so we ask you to find out who they are by checking them out on our website or as you hear them here on KFUO. Write, call, or tell them how much you appreciate their support of Worldwide KFUO.
Have you ever thought about becoming a Worldwide KFUO Day sponsor? There are plenty of reasons to do so. Perhaps a birthday, an anniversary, celebration of a baptism, confirmation, graduation, any event. It's easy. Just call Mary or Joni at 1-800-844-0524. That's 800-844-0524 and become a Worldwide KFUO Day sponsor today.
Maryland's Carroll County commissioners aren't yet resuming Christian prayer at their public meetings despite a Supreme Court decision that apparently allows it. Board President Dave Rausch opened Tuesday's meeting with a generic prayer.
God of us all, please look upon us, thy humble servants, with forbearance and forgiveness.
Rausch said the five commissioners would take up the Supreme Court's prayer ruling later.
We will put on the agenda for our meeting on Thursday a time for us to discuss how that decision may or may not impact our current and future practices.
The board voted in April to suspend its practice of rotating opening prayers among the commissioners, some of whom preferred prayers invoking Jesus Christ. The board's decision complied with a court order that a federal judge lifted on Monday after the Supreme Court approved Christian prayers said by clergy at public meetings in the town of Greece, New York. I'm Steve Coleman.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. Today we are discussing the vocation of women, particularly the vocations of single women. And joining me in studio, Deaconess Ellie Coro from the Office of International Mission. She's a missionary care coordinator. And on the phone with us, Adrian Hines, managing editor of the Lutheran Witness and catechetical information for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and also author of Hello, My Name is Single, which is due out in June here just about a month from now. And also joining us by phone, Martha Mitka. She's director of the Lutheran Malaria Initiative here at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And we've had a good conversation so far about the vocations of single women, a lot of interesting points that have come to mind, things that I haven't necessarily thought of. But here's a fun question to throw out there that I'm sure each of you have experienced. Adrian in her single days and Martha and Ellie, still single and always single, right?
Yep.
Just that phrase.
I'm fine.
Still single.
Or just single.
Just single.
I'm just single. No, I'm not a just.
What are the things that people say, or questions that people ask, or things that people assume, that others assume that can be maybe troubling or problematic, or maybe need to be rethought, or that you would wish that your friends and family and others would consider before they say. Well, where should we begin? Who wants to start? Man, the conversation has, during the break, they were starting to unpack all this during the break, and I said, no, don't talk about it yet. Wait till we come back. Okay, we'll start with Ellie, and then we'll go to Martha, and
that's
Adrian.
That's what I get for shaking my head now.
Okay, I'll let you start with one thing, Ellie.
Phrased several different ways, but the assumption of what are you doing wrong or what's wrong with you?
Uh-huh.
Your goal in life must be to get married, and that there's something faulty with you that other people are picking up on, so that's why you can't find a spouse, which is problematic in several levels. I mean, first, it makes the presumption that you're looking to get married, and that you're looking for marriage as, you know, to complete you somehow, and maybe you're not perfectly okay with where your life is at. There's also the I totally lost my train of thought. I'm sorry.
Still, I know when we talked about it before, still single.
Yeah, or just single.
Just single. Yeah.
Yeah. And are you married or are you just single? Which is, so I'm not a something unless I'm married. I'm a just. Yeah. And are you alone? That's the other thing is, you know, like, no, I'm not alone.
No, I have Jesus with
me. I have
me.
Jesus. That's the thing is, you know.
And all my brothers and sisters in Christ.
Exactly.
I hear what they're saying, and yeah. It's probably well-intended.
Exactly. Certainly. Exactly. But
and I'm probably guilty of saying those things.
Oh, sure. Sure. And I'm sure I've probably said them too. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've hit an older point in my life where my perspective shifted some, so
sure.
And I'm not quite as sensitive to some of it as I was when I was. Kind
now you're
of,
just jaded.
Now I'm just jaded, and it's like whatever. You know, people are going to say insensitive things. That's what I expect.
Martha, what are some of the things that maybe questions or comments or things that people say you would like for us to reconsider?
Well, you must be just too focused on your career, huh?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, which, you know, is rather interesting to me because I have every desire to be married and have children. And when people twist what you're doing right now in service to God into something else, and they really, they change the meaning of it. They change the reason mm-hmm. for your calling and the work that you're doing. And, you know, to see siblings have children and be married and experience that joy, and to sit in the pew and hear a pastor preach about the amazing blessings of marriage and having children, and yet where's the sermon on singleness? Mm-hmm. Where's the sermon on you have this great opportunity to serve the church and to love God and to show other people God's love through your vocation? You know, it's not there. It's like people have a fear of singles. They don't know what to do with mm-hmm. them. And so they kind of try and find excuses or make the assumption that they're choosing to be single, not that it's something that is truly a desire on their heart and God has just not placed that blessing in their life yet.
So perhaps that comment of you're too focused on your career is simply a misunderstanding of your contentment with the vocation that you've been given for now.
Exactly. Hmm. Exactly. And it took me a long time to come to the place where I know that God has a plan, and I know that he's using me now to help further the ministry of his church and to help build the kingdom of God and to serve in this capacity. And, you know, there was a long time. There's a lot of brokenness in singleness and that desire to feel whole and seeking it other places rather than seeking it through Christ and the scriptures. And, you know, I have two younger sisters, one 4 years younger than me and one 8 years younger than me. And one has four children and the other one has three. And while I love my nieces and nephews to death, those are still desires that are on my heart. That's something I would like to have in my life. I don't know if that'll ever happen, but I do know that God's using me to the best of my ability to serve him and to help raise those children in the church as well as their godmother or in helping just as a good example of service to Christ and what we can do.
Well, and that comes back to the examples that we were talking about at the beginning of the program, the examples of single women that who have influenced you along the way, that you have the opportunity to be those examples now, just as you were pointing out, whether it's sitting in the pew with the nieces and nephews or encouraging them from afar as well, and maybe getting to spend time with them once in a while. And as you were talking about with an aunt and our great aunt and those types of things, being able to support them in those ways, to be an example in that way. Adrian, the comments that people make, whether misguided or misunderstood.
Do you have like 8 more hours? Because we could go on and on about this for a while. So, I think the one that frustrated me the most was, you know, when people would say, well, when you learn to trust God, or when you stop looking, then you'll find someone, as though you're not trusting God when you're single, that he will bless you in the way that he sees fit. So I think a lot of times, like Martha said, we superimpose our uncomfortableness with people who are single onto them, and we try to fix them So we say things like, once you stop looking, you'll find someone, because that makes us feel better as married people. And it's something we think we can do to try and fix the other person, instead of just saying, tell me about yourself. Tell me about the church you belong to. Tell me about your family. And getting to know that person right where they're at as a single person. I don't even know that single groups in church are helpful, because like Ellie said, it sets us up to not be the body of Christ in its completeness and its wholeness. It's dividing us out, singles from married people. And that's not what heaven will be like. We'll all be there together. So I think one of my goals as a married woman is to always be an advocate for the single people, that they are beautiful, baptized children of God, that they're no different than the rest of us, and that we get the joy and the honor of being able to live and work and worship alongside of them.
Well, and I think we're at a weird point, too, where we've got kind of this history of sort of a spinster culture where, you know, the woman that didn't get married was a spinster. I mean, there was a word for that. Mm-hmm. And was kind, you know, and even in literature and stuff, she's usually not treated as the kindly, gentle, helpful woman. I mean, usually she's suspicious. And I mean, witches were portrayed this way even. I mean, if you even go further back in literature. And then on the other side of it, so I think there's that kind of rolling around in the back of a lot of people's heads, even singles' heads, is it's like, anything but being a spinster, because that's like the worst thing that could ever happen. And then I think on the other side of it is the church responding to feminism and having a tendency to maybe see with suspicion women who aren't married, as if they've chosen not to get married, like Martha was saying, oh, well, you picked your career over a family. And it's like, no, I didn't. This is just what's been given to me. And I know I've gotten some pushback from folks who have at least implied that I'm not married because I have a son. And, well, you know, I sinned very publicly and very obviously. And so my singleness is like my consequence for having had my son. And so, you know, we've got singleness is now a curse, which is scripture doesn't really, I mean, unless you're going to talk in a cultural context where women actually needed husbands in order to provide food and shelter and all of those things. Well, of course, we don't live in that context anymore. It's not a curse from God. It's just what's been given us, and it's a wonderful blessing. But I think there's this singles themselves tend to see it that way and respond that way and fear that. Fear that there's something going on. But I think so that's some of the fear that other people kind of project is what is God doing to you, and why is God doing this to you?
that it's some sort of curse, that singleness is a curse.
Yeah.
Interesting.
We've earned it somehow.
Yeah.
Because something's wrong with us, obviously.
Well, and I think, Ellie, I think when people make comments like that, it does feed into a person's insecurity.
Yeah.
And makes you question, even if you've been completely content in your singleness, for someone to, you know, stick the dagger in and twist it and really kind of try and find that way to make them feel better makes you more uncomfortable as a single.
Yeah.
Why is contentment important in single life? Why is it important to be content with what we've been given? We'll start with Adrian and work our way back around.
Well, no matter what stage or vocation of life you find yourself in, if you're basing your value and your worth on anything other than your baptism and on Christ, that's going to be a huge problem. And so in whether you're a single person or you're a married person, you look to Christ and to Him to complete you and not to another person. And so that's a struggle as a single person that you have, that there's something wrong that only another person can fix. And when you get married or you're with a boyfriend or girlfriend or fiance, you learn that that other person doesn't fix things, that you have, you know, challenges and blessings that come with that. They're just different than perhaps what a single person might have. So I think our goal as the church ought to be, if it's not already, that our only source of hope and comfort, whether we're singled or married, is Christ. And that's who we turn back to time and time again.
Amen. Any other thoughts on why contentment is in vocation is important? Martha? Then we'll come to Ellie.
Yeah, well, it's because we never know how God is going to use the people in our lives and who he's going to bring into our lives and what he's going to put before us. I mean, you know, I had no desire to be in the work that I'm in, and it's been a complete blessing to me. And if, you know, if I had not been willing to listen to the people around me as God was using them to guide and direct my path, I wouldn't be here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know where I'd be. Maybe I'd be off in Colorado somewhere in a canoe, looking at the beautiful mountains. But
using that recreation degree.
Using that recreation degree that I paid so much for. but yeah, you know, we just don't know what is going to happen in our lives and who God's going to put before us. And, you know, that can happen as a single, it can happen as, you know, a married person, but you know, all God's children have problems.
Hmm.
So marriage isn't the answer to everything. Having children is not the answer to everything. And your life is not automatically going to be perfect should those things occur.
Well,
even though they're all blessings from God.
As the pastor said it at our wedding when my wife and I married, today, Andy, Lauren, you marry a sinner. And it's true. You know, sinners are marrying sinners. When there's a wedding, it's a sinner marrying a sinner. And so that while it is a beautiful picture of, you know, a mirror of what God has done in his relationship between Jesus and his bride, the church, there's still this aspect that they're two sinners marrying. So you've still got sin there. And so you're still going to have discontentment with things. You're still going to have the problems of sin that come up in marriage. It's just a different scenario. But that doesn't mean that it's a higher calling, if you will.
Well, and why do we become discontent? We become discontent because we think we're entitled to something else.
Ah, entitlement.
And we're sinning. Mm-hmm. And this is the other danger, I think, with responding to singles is there's a tendency to kind of cultivate this singles angst. And that's really, it's one place where it's fascinated me that in a lot of things I've seen that there's not only an encouragement or an acceptance of coveting and resentment of mm-hmm. the vocation you've been given, but there's, you know, pastors that have encouraged people to do this and meaning well,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, we're all fighting to defend marriage and we want to hold marriage in very high esteem because a lot, you know, the world and the devil certainly aren't. But the reverse side of that is we're saying it's okay to covet, you know, this vocation mm-hmm. that's been given to somebody else. And we're discontent when we're murdering our neighbor in our heart by resenting the fact that they're married mm-hmm. and we're not. And, you know, we need to treat that as the sin that it is and have that absolved and repent. And I think that's a big key, at least for me, in my experience, was realizing that I am sinning against my neighbor horrendously by wanting good things. They're all good things, mm-hmm. but they're not things that have been given to me.
Mm-hmm.
And we can point to 50,000 other things. I mean, if we were talking about, you know, cars or something like that, we would see it clearly. But when we're talking about vocations, it's okay to really, really hate your neighbor because they have something you don't have. And it's not. Repent and trust the Lord who has good things for you, who's mm-hmm. forgiven you that.
And there is a fine line there between praying for things that God says is good and then wishing ill on your neighbor for having those things. I don't think it's wrong for Martha to pray for a husband and children, but if she hates me in her heart because I have a husband, then that's a different issue. And that's not something we often talk about in the church either, like you mentioned, Ellie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't hate you, Adrian.
I don't hate you either.
But Ellie, I think you've got the makings of a good how-to book here.
Oh.
What was it? What did you say about...
I don't know. I try to forget it as soon as I say it.
It was the makings of a good how-to book of how to...
how to be content.
or how to make someone else discontent.
How to make someone else discontent.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. Well, just a few minutes left. I wanted to get to, Ellie, the department that you work in missionary support, missionary care.
Missionary services, yeah.
Yeah, in caring for those missionaries and working with the missionaries around the globe. The vocation of being single, the advantages and disadvantages of that for someone who's a missionary.
A single missionary, mm-hmm. you mean? Well, of course, you don't have There's a whole lot more freedom when you're thinking, you know, I think I'd like to be a missionary, and you don't have a family and other commitments. And if you have a family, and you may really, really want more than anything to be a missionary, of course, your first vocation is to your family. And so there it becomes much more complicated when you're having to care for the needs of your spouse and your children and everything else. And of course, that's all very doable. And we do that all the time and support entire families. And we try to make it a point in missionary services to support the whole family, not just the missionary, him or herself. But if you're single, it's, and you know, and I see it all the time, is, and I see people, single people on the mission field, seeing this as their opportunity to do that is, it's not that I won't be a missionary when I'm married, but I don't know what marriage is going to bring. But right now I have this freedom and this opportunity to go wherever the Lord sends me and enjoy it while I have it.
Sure.
And there's nothing wrong with that. Thanks for bringing that up.
Sure. There are blessings that come with this vocation of singleness, as Martha has pointed out in her vocations that she has, as, and you have as a single person, and that Adrian had before being married, that I had before being married. There are blessings that come with this vocation of singleness. And so God gives us all to serve in different ways. And so we don't have to look at singleness as a bad thing.
Yeah.
I'm in a purpose for everything.
Yeah, yeah. I really appreciate the perspective that you all have given me today, and hopefully to our listeners as well, about the joy that there is in the vocations that God has given us, no matter whether we're married or single. And certainly the vocations of single women, that they can be, that you can be a gift to the church, to your neighbor, in so many ways, as Martha's shown serving here in Lutheran Malaria Initiative, as Ellie pointed out, serving in international missions. We have some really neat missionaries.
Yeah, we do.
I get to talk with another missionary later on this week. We're going to talk soon with, we'll wrap up the week, and one of the missionaries, Deaconess Allman.
Okay.
Yeah, Deaconess Elizabeth Allman recently wrote a book on Ruth.
And
there we go, vocation of single women.
And she kind of rocks. I bet that'll be a good conversation.
So that will be a good conversation. We're going to talk later on, and that'll be on the program on Friday. So what a great gift that God has given us in our vocations, whether married or single. I want to say thanks to our guests today. And Adrian, do you want to tell us a little bit about your book before we wrap up? We've got about a minute.
Yeah, it's a book that's due out from Concordia Publishing House in June. And it's meant to be a comfort and encouragement to the singles in the church, but also a word to the parents and the pastors and the friends who love those singles. It's not just for the single person. It's for all of us as the church. It's hilarious. I crack myself up reading it. So it's not a downer book. If people think that being a single is a total downer, it's not. And so just, pointing us back to Christ, whether we're married or single, and then learning how to live joyously together as the body of Christ.
You can check it out at cph.org. The name of the book?
Hello, my name is Single.
And it's due early June, so not too far away.
That's right. It's coming soon.
Very good. Well, our guest today, Deaconess Ellie Coro, Missionary Care Coordinator for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Office of International Mission. Ellie, thanks for being in studio today.
Thanks for asking me. It was fun.
Also joining us by phone, our guest Martha Mitkus, Director of the Lutheran Malaria Initiative. Martha, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you for having me, Andy.
And Adrian Hines, Managing Editor of the Lutheran Witness and Catechetical Information for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and author of Hello, My Name is Single. Adrian, thanks so much for being our guest on Faith and Family today.
You're welcome. Thanks for inviting me.
Absolutely. Coming up in just a little bit, we've got Moments of Assurance with Reverend Mark Hawkinson right here on Worldwide KFUO. Stick around for great music and inspiration conversation, all coming up next on listener-supported Worldwide KFUO.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.